Naked Absolute Philosopher? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with The Absolute Philosopher. Naked Absolute Philosopher. Now that does sort of ring a bell, doesn't it? All of us were born naked. We came into the world naked. We had nothing on our minds except the purity and goodness that we are. We lived in our thought world of joy and harmony and peace and our original purity and integrity, and it was very good. It was very good. Being naked is not bad. Being naked is being unadorned. Being naked means that you have no covering, that there's nothing that is trying to hide something else or cover something else. Now, all covering is not bad, for sure, and all clothingness or clothedness is not bad, truly. But the naked philosopher is the being of mind. A philosopher is one who thinks, and philosophy is what we are thinking about. And what is your thought? What is my thought? Where is my philosophy? Where do I have my thinking? Good question, you know, really a good question. Where do I have my thinking? Where does my thought dwell? Do I dwell in my original purity and integrity, or do I dwell on things that have come along and have looked interesting? Now, that's something we could all give attention to. When I start thinking about things that are contrary to who I am, then I'm not very happy. When I start thinking about things that make me unhappy, I'm not unhappy, and I'm not happy, and that's, of course, for sure. But when I'm thinking about things that make me happy, then I am happy. When I talk about things that are joyous, when I am living in the state of unconditional love, I'm living in a very wonderful world. You might say, the naked philosopher clothes himself in his own philosophy. He clothes himself in whatever his own belief is. The naked philosopher, this is how we all come into the world, this is how we all come into life, this is how we all come into any experience. Now, many of you have come to this philosophy as adults. And as adults, you're not that child, that naked child, that innocent child, that original purity child expressing. You are a child, if you will, or you're an adult of many experiences. And these experiences may have been challenging, they may have been damaging, they may have been utterly devastating. And you look at them and say, boy, what salvation is there for me? You know, here I am, I'm already messed up, I'm already in this problem, I'm already beyond repair. And that's true, you are beyond repair. Any of us who ever are having any experience, we are, as long as we stay in that experience, we are beyond repair. Now, do we have to stay in the experience that has been not beneficial to us? Well, we think we do. We were born into this family. We were born into this world. We were born into this body. We were born with all the problems the body has and the mind has and all these things. Well, is that true? You could take an ideal child and throw him into a pool of a cesspool, really a messy, messy pool. And then you pick him up and you take him away from that cesspool. And he still stinks. He still stinks. And so you think, what can I do? This poor, beautiful child stinks terrible. And you say, I must clean him up somehow. I must get this off of him. And so what does he do? You put him under the shower, and the water runs down on him. You don't need soap, you don't need anything, just the water runs down. And the water runs down, and then he begins to look up at the water, and he opens his mouth, and he gargles it, and he drinks it, and he lets it flow through him. And little by little, this water flowing through him allows the exterior odors to flow off of him. You say, well, it's the water on the outside that's flowing it off. No, it's the water on the inside. It's looking at that pure water and saying, oh, that tastes so good. Oh, it's so nice to be pure again. It's so nice to be pure. And yes, the water on the outside may rinse away the sludge and the badness that you cause there. But it's the water on the inside that's doing all the work, really. Because little by little, the body reforms itself to its original purity and integrity. It fluffs off billions and billions and trillions of cells every day. And these cells carry with them all of those negativities that the body is, and they leave behind a pure, ideal, original purity body. Now, the naked philosopher is a philosopher whose thought is pure, whose thought goes back to its original purity and integrity. You can use lots of other words, perhaps, to explain naked and philosopher, but those words themselves are quite adequate. They do quite a nice job of it. Now, how does a naked philosopher become the philosopher of love and peace and harmony and joy? Well, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We've heard that so often. And the naked philosopher is one who thinks in his heart purity and goodness. We look at many people in life, and we admire them very greatly. We think to ourselves, what a beautiful soul, what a beautiful being, what a marvelous expression of all that is good and perfect. And we admire it with all of our heart and soul and being, and we're so delighted with it, we're so thrilled with it, and we say, wow-wee, wow-wee, yes, wow-wee, wow-wee. But you know, think about it. How did it get to be that way? How did any person, any being, ever get to be a loving being? Now, let's just take a dog, for instance, and treat a dog meanly, and teach a dog to bite, and teach a dog to chase people, and teach a dog to be a guard dog, and teach a dog to be angry, and so forth. And then the dog is going to love its master, perhaps. It's going to love its master's family. And there's always a possibility that it could be unpredictable, though. Because the dog has been taught, it's not his nature, he has been taught to be angry and hateful and guarding and protective. Now, as long as the dog has that in him, you want to be a little careful. Because if you did anything to move him in the vein that he feels he has to be protective or something, he'll be protective. And the dog's nature is good. The dog's nature is beautiful and wonderful. Where did it get this negative nature? Well, it was being taught. And this is what the world does to us. We can enter into the world as a loving baby and be loved all of our life. Or we can enter into the world as a baby that doesn't know how to be loved because we pretend we aren't loved and we do everything to make ourselves unloved. And so then we live in what appears to be an unloved world. All of this is just the expression of the onlooker. Nurses in hospitals have learned to go to babies and tell the little babies they're little geniuses, they're wonderful, they're fantastic. And as the nurses do this, the babies respond in joy and love. They look up at the nurse and smile. And then the father comes in with trepidation, and he is not used to handling a little tiny baby, and he feels he might hurt the baby. And this fear he transmits to the baby, and the baby feels fear too. The baby feels the first fear of dropping, the first fear of abandonment, the first fear of not being wanted. And as this happens, it builds up every time the father picks up the child, and then the child cries whenever the father picks it up, when it shouldn't be doing that at all. It should be loving and happy. But it isn't, because this is the attitude that the father has within him, that he has built in him over the years, afraid to handle the child, afraid to handle something new. And you see, these fears, these attitudes, They are built into us over time, and we can just as easily not build them out, but build into us the opposite. We can build into us love, unconditional love. We can build into us the belief that all is in divine order. We can build into us that everything in this world is beautiful, is good, and very good, and on and on. We can build in all these wonderful things in our world as we choose. But we have to be a naked, absolute philosopher to do it. We have to be totally untouched by the past, totally untouched by the appearances or the illusions about us, and live in the awareness that all is in divine order. And as we live in this awareness that all is in divine order, all truly is in divine order. And if there were any blemish of non-divine order, if you could say that, if there were any blemish of a problem, that would go away, being dusted off by the cells that our body passes across it every single day. Yes. We have those stem cells growing out of our brain every day, 10,000 of them, which are undifferentiated matter just waiting to be directed into what we'd like to have them be. And so the naked philosopher looks at his undifferentiated cells, looks at his stem cells and says, I am perfect. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am wonderful. And directs these stem cells to this positive attitude about itself. And they in turn say, okay, whatever you say, that's what we do. Now, we're saying this, and we'll be saying this often, because this is what I would like to get across so perfectly to all of us. It's only recently that science has come up with this realization. Science for years always thought the brain cells didn't change. All they did was denigrate. They go away. They cease to be. But now we find that that's not true. Well, we've always known it. We've always known that we are always growing dynamic beings. We are absolute naked philosophers, living our life in perfect harmony without any previous thought, without any previous attitude, without any previous limitation or benefit. All we do is live in the now. And living in the now, we say all is in divine order. Living in the now, we say all is pure and beautiful and good. Living in the now, we say this is the world that I want. And you see, if we're going to put on a clown's outfit and be a clown, then we'll be a clown for a while. But if we could put on a clown's consciousness and live in that happiness, that joyfulness all the time, how wonderful that would be. Now, if you put on a suit of a dog, for instance, a costume of a dog, and you look like a dog or a tiger or a lion or something, that's only temporary, and you are awkward in doing it. And you feel awkward in doing it. And so you return to your original purity and integrity, and you do not feel awkward at all about it, because all is in divine order. This is how we direct our stem cells to create our bodies about us in divine order. And they fluff away, slough off all of those old cells that used to be important. But now, what is important is the newness, the original purity and integrity that we are, the childlikeness, the innocence that we are. This is our absolute self. This is the naked absolute philosopher, one who is untouched by the past, untouched by the future, untouched by the present, and lives only in the infinitesimal now. How wonderful that is. Think on these things. They're pretty great, but they demand that each of us think on them very seriously, very wonderfully, very powerfully, and as we think on them this way, we get the results. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.